We asked R.A. Dickey and our other guests this during this quarantine, this self-isolation time. How are you having fun? George and I were getting into hot debates of Netflix shows such as Tiger King, Love is Blind, The Circle, just trash, garbage reality TV. There's video games. How are you keeping busy?
You know what? I'm actually staying pretty proactive. I'm working on a few projects. I think I'm just trying to, I feel like if I just sat on the couch, I'd go completely crazy. So I'm actually been keeping busy and then just playing some music, writing some songs on my guitar. That's probably, I would say one of those things that I've spent most time on in terms of, you know, disconnecting and not working, relaxing. I actually haven't seen Tiger King yet.
Get on it, man.
Yeah, everyone's talking about it, so I have to. I only found out what it was yesterday. I was like, yeah, I had no idea. I just kept seeing Tiger King, but I haven't actually. I had no idea what it was.
Immerse yourself. Join us. Yeah.
Jump in. The water's fine, Vashik. We know that you've had some really, really good results before, obviously, the entire sporting world across the planet came to a screeching halt because of the pandemic. How frustrating is it for you that you're finally healthy and you're finally that player again who we saw who had great results 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, definitely some a little frustration there, but not you know what, not too bad. Like it is what it is. You know, it's obviously it's out of your control, and you know the world is dealing with much larger problems. So you know you have to have a little bit of perspective as well. And so actually, just you know, and there are a lot of things that you can do, and a lot of positives you can take out of you know negative situations and. So yeah, I just tried to make the most of it, at least in terms of, you know, from my end and like I said, work on a few different things and ultimately I feel like if, you know, there's no reason for my body to come back and keep playing at that high level. So I just have to make sure that I'm, you know, obviously stay fit. And when the time comes, when the tour resumes that, you know, I'll just be ready to, you know, take off from where I left off. I'm relatively confident that I'll be able to do so, but of course, you know, it's not a good situation for anybody.
No, and everything pushed back, of course. And Vasek, when you look at this hiatus that everybody's being forced to take, I feel it could kind of be the great equalizer, because if people are injured, they can get healthy, and then it just comes down to what type of rust you have to shake off in real competition compared to doing whatever type of virtual training that you're doing. Is this something that you feel a certain type of player or age player might have an advantage or a disadvantage when tennis actually resumes?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's definitely the motivated player will be an advantage. I actually have this conversation with somebody, but you know, I think for some guys that are, for example, reaching, you know, a later stage of their careers, maybe they're a little bit less motivated to train hard. And the thing is, when you have such a layoff like this, that might be, you know, months, and, you know, maybe they have families, maybe they have, you know, it might be a little bit tougher on those guys. They'll have to be extremely motivated to kind of get back into shape. Cause I think a lot of guys are going to, you know, balloon up a little bit after this. And then they'll be the ones that are younger, you know, in their early 20s that you know, are probably just training like crazy right now. And so I think, but having said that, I mean, I think, overall, I believe that once the tour starts, the level of tennis will be really high. Cause I think that everyone will have rested, you know, their bodies, they'll be mentally fresh. Obviously, you know, playing on the tennis tour all year, it can drain you out mentally, because you're just competing. You're basically, you know, going head to head against other players on a daily basis, and that can tire you out. So I think this long break will actually bring some better quality tennis than we had before. That's what I think. So we'll see.
Vashik, we know that it's going to be a different world when all this is done and we're past this coronavirus, and a lot of sports are talking about what potential changes will happen. Baseball, one of the ones, but in tennis, the ball kid handing you the towel. Do you think those days are done now?
Good question. I think a lot of things will change after this, so I wouldn't be surprised if that was one of them. I just, you know, the world will never be the same. That's for sure. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are tons of changes like that. You know, small changes like the bald kid not giving you a towel, or or maybe even some, you know, with spectators, seating, like who knows? Like, yeah, I just feel like so many things are going to change now, and at least for even once we start up, at least for, you know, a short period, at least for six months to a year, I'm sure there'll be a period of caution, and if things will go back to the same after that, I'm not sure, but I definitely wouldn't be surprised if there are tons of changes.
In conversation with Canadian tennis star Vasek Pospisil on Twitter at Vasek Pospisil. Now, Vasek, I look on sportsnet.ca, and there is going to be a virtual Madrid Open being played. Rafael Nadal, Andy Murray are among 12 players confirmed to play in this virtual Madrid Open tennis tournament. Are you considering participating in any future virtual tournament? Now, I don't know what this virtual tournament means as far as what, yeah. I don't know if you have any insight into what it actually is, because if you could enlighten us there, that'd be great. But are you considering participating in anything like this if that continues?
Yeah, I actually haven't heard that, so I'm not even sure what that is.
I wish
I could give you more info. That's the first time I'm hearing it. So, I mean, I'll definitely consider participating in anything that has to do with a tennis ball and being able to get out there. But I'm not sure what that is. If it's just kind of a, you know, if it's real tennis, I have no idea. I'd have to look into it. But I'll definitely consider participating in anything that's tennis related. I think I miss it. You know, I miss tennis. So if there's anything out there like that, and you know, if I have an invite, then I'll definitely do it.
It says they'll participate from their homes, April 27 to 30, in online competition. So that's
from their homes. Okay.
Yeah, like I don't know if it's if it might be sort of like a Wii controller setup. Like, are you virtually, you know, swinging a control? Like, I don't know. That'll be pretty fascinating.
It must be something fun for the fans and. Yeah, I guess it's not a serious competition, sounds like.
So get practicing on your Wii. Get a Wii, get swinging.
Yeah, 2020 Madrid champion will be a Wii player.
I mean, awesome. Eat that, Nadal, not winning that clay event. Vasek, this is sort of tennis-related. Fellow Canadian tennis player Jesse Levine posted this video last week of him on rollerblades from his home in Florida, where he hits the ball in the air over his house, rollerblades through his house, and then catches the ball on his racket. Is it possible for a tennis ball to be in the air for like 7 or 8 seconds? Is that a true video? Did you see it?
I saw the video. Yeah, it went viral. It was on it was on the tennis channel, and
is it real?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. So I think it's real. Yes, I was pretty impressed by it because he actually posted two videos. He posted one without the rollerblades, and then I guess he upgraded and made things more difficult. But the one without the rollerblades was for sure real. So I felt like the one with the rollerblades was definitely real too. Even though I felt like I was impressed that he'd be able to hit the ball hard enough and being balanced on the rollerblades. That was what was impressive to me. They didn't flop on the ground because you have to really, you know, hit. But he's clearly very comfortable on those things. But I'm going to say it's real. That's my guess right there. I think it's real.
We asked the hard-hitting questions here, Vasek, but I'm going to give you one that I'm really interested to get your opinion on this. Now that we're in this pandemic and the French Open's moved, we know Roger Federer is the king at 20 majors, Nadal right behind him, Djokovic with 17. In your opinion, Vasek, who's the greatest male tennis player of all time?
Yeah, this is for me, the only way to really answer this question, in my opinion, is just, you know, otherwise you could debate forever. It's just whoever has the most Grand Slams, whoever has won the most amount of event, like major events, you know, should be considered the greatest of all time. Otherwise, it's not even worth having the debate, because then it'll never end. So having said that, I would say right now, for sure, it's Roger. He's the greatest of all time. But, you know, if Rafa gets more Grand Slams or if Novak gets more Grand Slams, then I think they should be considered the greatest of all time. But the funny thing is, actually, which to their disadvantage, Rafa's and Novak's, let's say if they ever pass Roger, is that they basically played at the same time throughout their whole careers. And during that time, Federer was the greatest of all time. So there'll be this perception that even if they pass him, let's say the last year of their careers, there'll still be this very strong perception that Roger will be the greatest of all time. But the thing is, you can debate it all. Like, he's definitely the most, I mean, if, yeah, I don't know, there's an endless debate, but I think it should just be whoever has won the most Grand Slams, keep it relatively black and white on paper, and then whoever that is at the end of their careers will be the greatest. So right now it's Roger for sure.
You've obviously played all three of those guys. Which one was the toughest, or who's the toughest to play against?
For me, the toughest is Novak. He's the toughest. I mean, obviously, it could be specific to my game style because I have he's greatest returner of all time, and serve is one of my biggest strengths. So I rely on my serve a lot to get free points but he obviously neutralizes the serve like no one I've ever played. So that I think naturally Novak for me is the toughest guy for sure out of those three. I always felt like, you know, playing I don't think I've ever played Roger when he was, you know, dominating, but I played him, I think, three or four times. And, you know, just because you could kind of find a little bit of a hole in his backhand side when you have, you know, serve big and could start the point kind of in control. But obviously he's the most talented. I feel like he's just the most talented player. He's unbelievably talented. But for me, just in terms of level difficulty, I think Novak, just because of his return.
Vasek, really appreciate the insight, and trust me, man, give Tiger King 2 episodes, you'll be hooked. Get in on it.
Yeah, I will. Everyone's telling me to watch it. So
got to.
I'll watch it today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much,
Vasek.
It's
a lot to process.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a lot to process.
Deep dive. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks.
See ya.